All right, take your Bibles back out once again, if you would, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to focus our attention on one verse here, and that is verse 58. As you can see from the slide, the title of the message is Standing Firm in 2024. The main lesson goes like this. We go around once, and then glory. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so glad that I am not reincarnated. I am so glad I don't have to do this again. Not that it's not been good, not that God hasn't blessed me, but heaven is far more glorious than earth can ever be. Amen? We go around once, and then glory. And because of glory coming, we must remain standing firm for the Lord, serving Him faithfully until then. You know, a little story goes like this. One week, a Sunday school teacher had just finished telling her class the Christmas story. And after telling the story, the teacher asked her little students, "Who do you think the most important woman of the Bible is?" And one little fellow raised his hand and said, "Well, Eve." The teacher said, "Eve, why do you think she's the most important woman in the Bible?" And the little boy said, "Well, they named 2 days after Eve, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve." Well, as we bring in the new year on this New Year's Eve, possibly we think of many things. We think of upon the victories of the year. We think upon the losses of the year that has just passed. We think of the many blessings that God's given to us. And we maybe even think of some of the hurts that we've had to endure. We think of what we would have done differently. Boy, if I had to do it again, this is what I would do differently. We think about our resolutions for the new year, as the new year is quickly coming upon us. And maybe for some of you, you hope for a better year than the year that has just gone by. And maybe we even consider what would make it a better year than the one we've lived through. And so we pray. We pray fervently. We pray continually. We pray also that the Lord, if He tarries, that we don't waste the precious time that God grants us in this life to honor and glorify Him and to love one another deeply, to love our friends, to love our family, to love our church family deeply. You know, someone once said this, a wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. As God gives life, each one of us starts the new year with the same number of opportunities, 365, that we can choose to either use and invest in eternal things or allow to drift by without taking advantage of the gift that we've been given. He goes on to say, the difference between those who succeed and those who fail is not found primarily in talent, but in diligence and effort. Church family, we have things to do this new year. Maybe things we've left undone this year. We've got things to do in 2024. Good things to do for the Lord, for the glory of God. So let's make sure that we're serving Him faithfully, diligently, in whatever capacity that He has called us to serve Him, with all the muster, with all the vim and vigor that He's given to us, with all the talents that He has given to us. For as the Bible says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should diligently walk in them. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And let's remember, as Paul tells us this morning, that nothing we do for the Lord is in vain. Amen? Nothing we do for the Lord is in vain. There's a sure reward. So as Christians, what should we do in 2024? Now, I'm going to preach to you from this verse two things we should do and then see a reward for doing those things. But let me just throw this in there as a caveat. The things that we should do in 24 are the very same things we should have been doing in 2023. God's word does not change. We continue to do what God's word tells us to do, and we do our very best to try not to do what God's word tells us not to do. That's what we're to do. So, and I think that's the vein that Paul has written what he's written, that we work diligently for the Lord. So point number one is this. We stand firm in 2024. That's what we do. Look at the first part of verse 58, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. This is what the Bible says. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Well, once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word of encouragement before us. It is a word of encouragement that has been around for thousands and thousands of years, written specifically to the church, those who are born again of the Holy Spirit and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and treasure. And so, Father, as we read these words, we know that all the saints that have gone before us have read them too and have done their best to live them out. And so, Father, help us to do our best to live them out this year. Father, we do this for your glory, for your kingdom, and for our good. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Now, look at first part of verse 58 with me again. There is a word I want to point to very quickly, therefore. Now, in Paul's writing, typically therefore is a connective word that connects everything that went before it to what comes after it. And so let me read to you in chapter 15, beginning in verse 50, what Paul says before this therefore, so that we can get it in context and know why he's telling us to do what's after the therefore. So look with me here in chapter 15, verse 50 of 1 Corinthians. He says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given the victory over death. It's not a complication for us. It's not a problem for us. We will one day put on the imperishable, and we will transform from these mortal bodies to immortal bodies. And so Paul is focusing on the future, the gracious, good future of believers, to encourage them to do something today. And so Paul wrote those things about glory, and then he says, therefore, do something. Now look with me. Paul says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. That's what he says. So in light of glory, do something today. In light of future grace, live in grace today. Live for the Lord today. And I believe that's the message he has for us for 2024. To stand firm, living for the Lord. Now notice a couple of other words here. Brothers and sisters. Who are they? Fellow Christians. That's who they are. So this word is written to the church only. This word has nothing to do with unbelievers. It has nothing to do with the pagan world. It's only for believers. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, that unbelievers are spiritually discerned. Although they may be able to interpret the word of God, it has no significance to them. They would not live this word out if it's the last thing that they were told to do. They wouldn't live it out because they're spiritually discerned. But for a believer, and that's who this word is written to, God is speaking to his adopted children. The Father is speaking to his children. You child of God, say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, God's got a word for you today. And the word is this: stand firm, let nothing move you in 2024. That's the word for us today. This exhortation to stand firm, it comes from a single Greek word that is translated into English, two English words. And the Greek word literally means to being seated. That's what it means, to being seated. Therefore, when you're seated, you're settled, right? You're settled. And as it goes in churches, most people can't sit in some church member's seat because that's where they're settled, right? They're settled there. They're immovable. They can't be moved. So that's literally what this Greek word is referring to. And so some synonyms that go with this Greek word would be this: to be firm, to be fixed, to be determined, to be purposed, and to be faithful. Paul is calling God's children to be faithful to him before anything and everything else. Stand firm, church family. Secondly, Paul gives a second exhortation here to let nothing move you. What's the difference between standing firm and let nothing move you? Not a whole lot. Paul is saying the same thing twice with two different Greek words here. And the second Greek word here adds to the intensity of what Paul is saying with the first Greek word. All right, it's like an exclamation mark at the end there. And this Greek word that's translated "let nothing move you" carries the basic meaning of standing firm, standing firm. And with all the vim and the vigor and the gusto that you can do it with. The synonyms that we could use for this word is unyielding, unyielding, unshakable, and undisturbed. So, in other words, he's telling us not to be fickle. We cannot be fickle about what we believe. We cannot be fickle about standing firm for the Lord, because fickle Christians can be easily moved, not standing firm. So stand firm, church family. Be immovable when it comes to the will of God found in the Word of God, because you've been given the victory over the greatest problem that you'll ever face, and that's death. You've been given the victory over that. You know, I'm not going to say anything that y'all don't know, but our country has not stood firm when it comes to the will and the Word of God. We have moved away from the Word of God, so much so that I think America is a post-Christian nation. And what our nation needs more than anything is for God's people to stand firm, immovable, resolute, based upon the Word of God, which tells us the will of God. That's what we need to do in 2024. Stand firm. There's another exhortation that Paul gives us in the middle part of verse 58. So let's look at that real quick. This is point number two. Not only are we called to stand firm in 2024, but we're also called to serve faithfully in 2024. Don't just stand there, church family. Do something, right? That's what he's saying. Don't just stand there. There's stuff to be done. There's work to be done. The second part of verse 58 begins with an adverb, always. Always. Do you know what that Greek adverb means? All times. All times. It's a timestamp. All times. So always give yourselves fully to what? The work of the Lord. Let me begin this point with a statement that fits, I believe, every church that I've ever been a member of. There's always work to be done. Amen? There's always work to be done. And there always seems to be a shortage of laborers to do the work. Now, I don't think that is the case. I believe that God gives the people who are members here the ability to do the work that is needed to be done. The problem is the want to get it done. That's the problem. So it's not that we don't have laborers for the work, but that oftentimes we have a lack of motivation to be laborers in the work of the Lord. And what does the Bible specifically tell us right here in verse 58? It says, always, when's always? All the time. Do what? Give yourself fully to what? The work of the Lord. Now, think about what the Lord's done for you. Think about what the Lord has done for this church and for me. Why? Because that in itself should motivate us to work for the Lord fully all the time. But think about what's going to come. Think about the glory to be. And let that be our motivation to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord all the time. That's the context that Paul is writing this in. And so the Lord's done so much for us. It's not that we work to pay God back, because that would be flipping grace upside down. But it's like the old preachers used to say, we don't have works for righteousness, but we have works of righteousness. It's just what we want to do. It should be anyway. It's what we want to do to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. So Paul gives us the answer that why we should do this stuff. He says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. So he tells us, first of all, what to do. What is that? Work. Secondly, he tells us how to do it fully. And thirdly, he tells us when to do it. Always. That's what Paul's telling us. And fully here comes from the Greek word, which carries the idea of exceeding the requirements, of overflowing or going above, overdoing it for the Lord. One theologian says this, because God has so abundantly overdone himself for us who deserve nothing from him, we should determine to overdo ourselves, if that were possible, in service to him to whom we owe everything. So fully, to work overflowingly, to overdoing it, to exceeding the requirements, fully. And he says to work. This Greek word means to toil to the point of exhaustion, to the point of collapse. So one theologian says the word means never cease, never stop, never slacken up, never quit, and never retire from God's work. So to Christians who work and pray and give and suffer as little as possible, Paul's word is a stinging indictment. In 2024, how will we always invest our lives fully in the work of the Lord? What will we do? One theologian said this, every ability, every talent, every skill the Lord has given us is to be ceaselessly used for his work here in this local church, in our homes, at our jobs, and in the world as long as we have breath, always. Couldn't agree with him more. Many of us may have caught ourselves saying something like, well, I've served my time. I've done my part. Now it's time to let someone else step in and do the work. Now, if my interpretation of the middle part of verse 58 is correct, and I think it is, that's not true. We should never say, I've done my part. It's time for somebody else to step in and do it. Amen? That means you agree with me. Amen. You agree with me. So God's word tells us to stand firm and to serve faithfully in 2024. The last thing we see here that Paul tells us in verse 58 is it speaks of in point three, a secure future. So we stand firm, we serve faithfully, and we'll have a secure future in 2024. He says, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So one theologian writes, our work for the Lord if it is truly for him and done in his power, cannot fail to accomplish what he wants accomplished. You see, everything that we do for the Lord is not in vain. Doesn't matter what the results are. You know, this year we had three ladies who felt a call to start a Sunday school class in the second, third grade. And they started that Sunday school class. And they may have one student, they may have two. But if you go up there, you'll see those ladies have given themselves fully to the work of the Lord. And I don't know how old the oldest one is, and I don't know how young the youngest one is, but in most books, it'd be the ladies that would be sitting down letting somebody else teach. They're an example to us all and to what Paul's telling us here. And their reward is secure. Amen? Amen. So what they're doing, you know, somebody may say, well, they only have one student. And what I see them going, well, we got one student, yeah! Right? Public school, you want teacher, student-teacher ratio as small as you get. And seems like in church, you want it to be as big as it can be. I've never quite understood that. I mean, you think about it. Three teachers pouring into one student, all of God. What an impact. Now, it's not that they don't want more students. It's not that we don't want more students in there. But you see, they're giving themselves fully to the work of the Lord. And they're a good example of what I'm trying to preach today, straight from God's word. And their future reward is there. Paul assures it. What they're doing, what you're doing for the Lord, is not in vain. There is a secure future for that. When we ceaselessly labor for the Lord, we're building treasure in heaven. And that's what Paul, that's what Jesus tells us, that's what Paul tells us. The Lord says in Revelation 22, 12, look, I am coming soon, my reward is with me, and I give to each person according to what they have done. We will be rewarded according to our work on earth. We have a secure future of benefits ahead of us because we will be rewarded for the work that we have done on earth. That work is not in vain. Jesus tells us this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Matthew 6, 19 through 20. Galatians 6, 9. Bible says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not stop. We don't give up. Ephesians 2:10. I've read this to you already this morning. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should diligently walk in them. Now, I want you to hear me. It's not just at church that we do good works. All right. Yes, at church, of course. But the Bible tells us that whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. So it's in your work. It's in your leisure time. It's with your family. It's with your friends. It's in your church. You're working consistently for the glory of God. All right? That's what we're to understand here. And the last verse I just want to briefly draw from is James chapter 2, verse 26, where Jesus' half-brother says that faith without works is dead faith. But the Christian who is steadfast, immovable, who is ceaselessly abounding in the work of the Lord is going to be richly rewarded. Their labor is not in vain. They have a secure future. And I say hallelujah for that. So in 2024, let's build heavenly treasure, securing that future of eternal benefits by serving the Lord faithfully on earth today. Amen? Three things. Stand firm. Serve faithfully. And you have a secure future. Hallelujah. You know, we only go around once. And then glory. Because of glory, we must remain standing firm for the Lord, serving him faithfully. Let me close with just a little story. There was a man who had a layover at an airport, and he goes into the bathroom there at the airport, and he doesn't like what he sees. He frowns upon the decor of the bathroom. So what does he do? He starts decorating the bathroom in the airport, making the bathroom more beautiful, a more smell-worthy place to be, more decorative, because he thinks he's not just passing through, but he's going to have a continued layover there in the airport. Now, that's a crazy story, isn't it? It is absolutely crazy. But I think if we really look at it, it would apply to each one of us. Because this world is not really home. And it's not wrong to have nice stuff. God gives us that stuff. But that stuff shouldn't be our God. It's just a benefit that God gives to us, that we would serve him faithfully, that we would stand firm. So let's make sure we're not decorating the bathroom thinking that this is home, because it's not. Home is coming, and there will be rich reward there someday. Paul says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is the exhortation the Word of God gives to God's people as we enter into a new year. Let's work. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these exhortations and the blessing that you give to us for obeying you. And Father, I know that there's work to be done, and I know we've got the folks to do it. And so we thank you. But Lord, we always ask that if you give us more work, you give us more people, that we could remain faithful to serving you faithfully, that we would stand firm in 2024, knowing of the glorious future we have. In Jesus' name, amen.